listening to ESL Talk, a podcast made for English teachers by English teachers.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another new episode of ESL Talk. This is a really exciting episode. We're actually going to speak to a guest who was part of a Nobel Prize-winning science team, climate scientist Diane Seidel, and she's going to talk to us about how she actually transitioned from working within this team to actually becoming an ESL teacher at the age of 60. And it's a really inspiring story, so I hope you're able to listen and learn from the interview this week. A big thank you again to everyone for your amazing feedback on last week's episode with Katie. We talked about extracurricular classes and subject classes, and she also shared with her business of helping teachers with social media, especially breaking into the market in China. So if that's something you might be interested in, feel free to go back and take a listen, or alternatively look in the description for the links where you can find her website as well. Feel free to take a look at that, because that's really useful and helpful for our teaching community too. If you're not a subscriber yet, do feel free to subscribe to us on Spotify and iTunes. You can just click the link on your podcast app so that you get all the new episodes every Wednesday as they drop. And again, if you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, we have a few more episodes left to record this season. If you'd like to join us, you can just go to the website esl-talk.com. There you'll find the button at the top, Be a Guest. Just fill in a couple of quick little details, and then you should be able to, get through to me. I'll be able to reach out to you and book a time to schedule an interview if you would like to talk to me about anything related to ESL, the world of English teaching, or a project that you're really passionate about. Today we'll hear about Diane and her transition from climate science to ESL teaching. She also went on to write a book as well, which is amazing, which she'll talk to us about, and we'll obviously share that link in the description too. If you are looking for resources, materials, and you want to cut down on planning and preparation time as a teacher, feel free to check out our sponsor, esl-curriculum.com. That's Crystal Clear ESL, where you can get access to 600 plus interactive, high quality English materials for your students. This covers everything from kids to speaking, to writing, to IELTS, to business English. It's all covered there, and you can get started with a free 2-week trial. You can just click the link at the bottom of this episode description, or go to esl-curriculum.com to find out more. And then finally, before we get into today's interview, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at ESL Talk Podcast, and also on YouTube. You can check out our YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and type ESL Talk Podcast. So let's get started with today's interview. Let's hear from our special guest, Diane Seidel, hear about her transition from the world of climate science to the world of ESL teaching at the age of 60. Really inspiring stuff. Here we go.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right. Hello, Diane. Thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast.
My pleasure, Daniel. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us and to learn a little bit about your story. So first of all, I think our listeners would really love to know a little bit about your background in science and how you transitioned from science into ESL teaching.
Okay. I grew up in I'm in my 60s now. I grew up in sort of the dawn of the environmental movement, and I was interested in making my career focus on environmental protection. So long story short, I ended up as a climate scientist. I have degrees in atmospheric science and meteorology, and I spent my entire working career doing research on climate change. I worked for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which is the U.S. agency that deals with weather and climate issues and ocean issues as well. And after more than 30 years, I retired from that work. If you're interested, I can tell you what my specialty area was, but I'm not so sure that your listeners would be interested to know.
I think it'd be really interesting to know because it can help us connect to, you know, talking about your transition to ESL teaching. So yeah, sure.
Okay.
Please do share.
Okay. I'm not sure that there is a strong connection, but my specialty area was weather balloons, if you know what those are. And my work focused on using the observations from these throwaway weather balloons, which are ways of observing the atmosphere for weather forecasting, and seeing if we could interpret that data, that long history of many decades of weather balloon data, to understand climate change, which isn't what those instruments were made to do. So, over the course of many years, I used weather balloon data, we call them radio signs, to understand climate change from the surface of the Earth through the lower atmosphere, up through the tropopause, into the stratosphere, yada, yada, yada. Wow. But that was my very niche area of expertise in the world of climate research.
Well, you know, you can always teach this and talk about this process to potential students. And, it's actually can connect in some ways. I guess you'd have to simplify it, but the process could definitely be taught, I would say, as well, which is fascinating. Okay, so again, you've talked about all these experiences as a scientist. How did these influence your teaching style and your approach to ESL teaching now?
I think so. There isn't a strong connection between my scientific research and my current teaching, but I think that the link that's there is that so in science, as you progress through your career, usually you have an opportunity to engage with younger scientists, maybe as an actual teacher or professor, or maybe just mentoring people, and I had a little bit of both of those experiences. I did do a little stint teaching at a university locally, and I had a number of younger colleagues, students from high school age through college, postdoctoral students, and then just early career scientists that I, tried to help, get their younger colleagues that I worked with starting out in their career. And I think that was part of my work that I enjoyed the most, you know, seeing them grow in the field, seeing them understand things and learn. So that was a kind of teaching that I really enjoyed. I've always enjoyed learning languages myself, apart from my scientific work. And so the idea of teaching English as a second language, or English for speakers of other languages, whichever term you prefer, made sense in that respect. It combined teaching with my interest in language learning. And I also really just like the English language. I'm kind of a picayune person about the language, and I want to help people learn to speak it well, write it well, and be as fluent as they can be.
Amazing. So you've kind of mentioned that, you know, science or your field wasn't necessarily that related to teaching. So what were some challenges that you found when you were making that transition or making that leap?
Well, one big difference. So I first started teaching as a volunteer, and I was teaching English to adults. To adult immigrants coming here to the Washington, D.C. area from all over the world. I loved that, but the challenges there were basically being on as a teacher in front of a classroom.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, sitting in my office or you know, deciding when to do things as it seemed reasonable. Just, you know, class starts at X o'clock, and from X o'clock to Y o'clock, you got to be there, and you have to be actively engaged with your students all the time. That was different. That was almost like being on stage, although of course you're not a performer as a teacher, but nevertheless, that was an initial challenge for me. It took some getting used to, but I rose to the challenge, I think. The other challenge I had was working later, and one of my more recent bits of teaching was with much younger people, including kids in kindergarten and recently kids in middle school in Thailand first and then in Italy. And that was challenging in both cases, just dealing with young people and the energy that they have and the kinds of attitudes that they have sometimes, especially the middle schoolers. I was used to dealing with serious, you know, adult people who you know, could sometimes be difficult, but quite different engaging with kids. So that was
imagine.
Fun. And it was challenging, but also very gratifying, you know, because kids learn so fast. It's really exciting.
They do. Yeah, that's a really good point. And we sometimes don't really prepare ourselves for that difference in energy levels. And you need to constantly keep young learners busy, keep their hands busy, keep them moving, you know, in terms of what they're doing. So it's a really difficult process, and it does take time to be effective at doing. So obviously with your background in science, you know, how has this given you a unique perspective on teaching and learning, and how do you kind of connect that when you can or where you can?
Well, so Daniel, I think many scientists, myself included, we tend to be rather methodical in our approach to the world. You know, there's a problem here. How are we going to devise a solution, a way to answer a question that makes sense and that doesn't leave too many holes in our understanding, and preparing things, preparing whatever it is so that we can gather all the materials we need to then investigate a problem. I think that aspect of organizing my thoughts, organizing materials, preparing to do a job was really a helpful thing to have when I started teaching. You know, I rarely wing it. I always have a lesson plan. Of course, the lesson plan sometimes has to be abandoned or modified as we see how it unfolds. But that organizational skill, and I think that's probably the biggest carryover between these two aspects of my life's work.
No, that's always, it's always good to be prepared, especially as a new teacher and even experienced teachers. It's always good to have plans or things that you can do, so that you have kind of a foundation. So I would definitely advise all our listeners to always be prepared when you're starting out. So you've actually written a book, and this is kind of one thing I wanted to go a little bit deeper into with you today, Diane. Could you talk a little bit about your book and how it relates to your experience as a retiree turned ESL teacher?
Happy to. So the book is entitled Kindergarten at 60, semicolon, subtitle, A Memoir of Teaching in Thailand. So it chronicles my experiences in 2019 to 2020 after I had retired, and my husband also had retired. I at the time it, before this period, I was teaching English, as I mentioned, in Washington. I talked to my husband, who was also interested in trying to teach at the same school. So he was teaching there too. We both decided we loved it, and we wanted to see if we could combine our teaching with travel. So we got certifications. We got CELTA certified at Teaching House in Washington, D.C., and then started applying for jobs to teach abroad. I can tell you the long version, but the short version is we ended up in Thailand. It was definitely not where we wanted to end up, but that's where we ended up. And we ended up teaching kindergarten, which is also not what we wanted to do. We were hoping to teach grown-ups like we do here in Washington, people who can sit in a chair and don't wear diapers and whose energy levels are manageable. Anyhow, we ended up teaching kindergarten in Thailand, and that's what the book's about. We spent about 5 months there. Our contract ended March 3rd of 2020. We returned, oh, excuse me, March 1st of 2020. We returned home, and 10 days later, our area went into COVID quarantine. So hence the book, because the school where I had been teaching before closed down for a few months before then reopening online. All of my other activities were, as your activities and all your listeners' activities, were put in hiatus for a bit. And basically inspired by the reaction of friends and family to the messages that we had sent home from Thailand about our adventures there, who all said, "You've got to write a book about this." And given all the free time and the need to stay away from other people that I had, I took advantage of the pandemic and wrote this book. And it's coming out in June of this year.
Amazing. This is great. And this is perfect timing. So we'll definitely drop the details about that in the description in the bio for the episode. So if you are interested in finding that, then you can. And we'll drop all the links in there for our listeners as well. It's amazing. And I'm really interested and curious about this now. I'd like to read a little bit more, hopefully, and find out about your story, Diane. So what advice would you give to other individuals who are maybe considering teaching ESL abroad, especially later in life?
Yeah, so I think, Daniel, the especially later in life part of your question is, I think, the relevant part, because as you know, I'm sure many of your listeners know, it's not too hard for a young person to teach abroad. A young person for whom English is their mother tongue, can easily find a position in many parts of the world teaching, even without any experience. You can go places and get certified and be dropped into a classroom with no experience at all and get going. And that's what we expected to find when we started applying for positions too, not realizing that it's not the same for older people as it is for, people just out of college or mid-career people. We ran into a lot of obstacles, including age restrictions in many countries that have mandatory retirement ages. We also just weren't getting any nibbles from places that we thought we had good qualifications for. We had experience, we had certifications, we had life experience, which we thought would be respected in some countries, but very few responses. So given that background, it doesn't mean that the opportunities aren't there. There are opportunities. And here's what I would suggest. One is, if you're interested in teaching ESL abroad, do the research to figure out what countries may be welcoming to you. And and focus there. Secondly, mm-hmm. Think about whether you're wanting to go for you kind of make a permanent move and find a full-time job and career, or maybe do you have a shorter-term intention like we did. We didn't really want to pack up and make a move elsewhere. Right. But we wanted more than a tourist experience. We wanted to live someplace for a little while, but we knew we'd be coming home. So we looked for programs that could help us find placements. We ended up teaching in Thailand under a program that finds you paid positions. But after the pandemic sort of waned, just recently, this past February, we did a different kind of teach abroad program, which was a volunteer effort. So we went to Sicily for a little while to teach middle school English as volunteers. So I think actually that in future for us, we probably will focus on those kinds of opportunities. Much easier to, the logistics are much easier, the commitments are shorter, and as a volunteer, you're treated a little bit differently than an employee. People tend to be very grateful for what you're doing in their community, and you're welcomed with such open arms. So we had a great experience in Sicily, and I would suggest to folks listening that if that's appealing, there are opportunities there that are much less restrictive than the job opportunities, the paid employment opportunities.
That is good to know. And that's very encouraging, because we do hear sometimes that it's, people who are a little bit older find it difficult to find those positions, or they just don't hear anything, like you said. So it's encouraging that there is, opportunities for them. And just to keep a positive mindset and try to, research and find things available, because there definitely are things available, like you said. So what were some of the misconceptions that came up about teaching ESL, and how did you address them?
Misconceptions. Well, I'll speak about my own misconception.
Yeah, right.
So having done the CELTA program, which is very strongly focused on methodologies and lesson planning and different ways to teach different aspects of language, reading, listening, speaking, writing, vocabulary, whatever. I found in Thailand that when you're dealing with very young children, none of that is particularly applicable. Basically, in my case, I should say,
right.
I learned that young learners are little sponges, and immersion in the language is well, it's the natural way to pick up a language.
Yes.
And so lesson planning, using all the rubrics that I had been taught and was so diligent in trying to implement, was not necessary. So I was misinformed there, and I was amazed at how I was teaching in an English immersion kindergarten. Our Thai students had 2 hours of Thai language a week and 2 hours of Chinese a week, but otherwise they were surrounded by English all day long from 8 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon.
Wow.
And they were pretty darn good in English at ages 2.5, 3, 4. That's when kindergarten starts in Thailand. And they understood not just me and my husband, who speak an American dialect, but also other teachers from South Africa who had much different accents, and from the Philippines. And these kids were just great with it. So that was a big misconception for me. And that was just stupidity on my part, really. I didn't have any experience teaching little children. And so I should have known that, but I had to be there to realize that.
I see. So how would you say making this change, and doing some teaching, how did that really enrich your life, personally and professionally? How do you feel it has complemented what you've done previously?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, it for me, it's a wonderful second act. I mean, whether it's here in D.C. with the adults or abroad with kids, every person I interact with, all of these students, they make their way into my heart. Their needs, especially I would say the immigrants here, mm-hmm. learning their stories, what their goals are, what their hopes are, and then working with them to help them realize their hopes and dreams. It's so gratifying, and it's so wonderful. So you develop a kind of friendship with your students that is really wonderful. The kids, you know, I only spent less than half a year with these children, but all of them have been seared into my soul. Their little faces, really? I'll never forget.
Yeah.
So it's super enriching, and it's quite different from my previous work, which is rather cerebral. And I spent a lot of my time working on my own and not so much in community this way. So it's a wonderful change.
It is. And like you said, you know, if you can play just a very small part in helping someone in their life journey and, mm-hmm. you know, being that person that believes in them, encourages them, supports them to achieve their goals, then it's mm-hmm. it's priceless, right? And that's what it's all about, for me at least anyways.
Absolutely.
So what would you say, what are your future plans going forward? And you know, what are you wanting to achieve, or what are you wanting to continue to do in the world of ESL and ESL teaching in the future?
Mm-hmm. Well, as I mentioned earlier, I do hope to be able to take advantage of some of these volunteer teach abroad programs. For me, it's a great way to combine the teaching, bringing that to other communities with, you know, the kind of classic retirement, see the world mm-hmm. thing, but not in a touristic way. These programs tend to be in communities that aren't on the you know, top 10 must-see of every country list. They tend to be in poor vocations and things like that. And it's wonderful to be embedded in those communities for a little while. And then the other thing is I love teaching here in Washington, and I hope to continue teaching at Washington English Center for as long as they'll have me. That's also a volunteer gig, and I, you know, I just adore it. I didn't mention, but I will now, that I also teach yoga.
Oh, wow.
And,
amazing.
And I teach a class, actually, called Let's Learn English and Yoga Together. I teach, this is here in Washington. I don't mm-hmm. do this with the kids because you have to keep children moving at a much more rapid pace than in yoga class. but it's, this actually may be of interest to some of your listeners. Teaching yoga and giving verbal instructions along with physical demonstrations and having students do things with their bodies when they're saying words. Mm-hmm. As I'm sure you know, Daniel, there's a kind of synergy between the yep. physical and the mental learning that goes yep. on, and it's beautiful. So I have a whole little syllabus of one term's worth, you know, 11-week program of gradually building up yoga skills along with English skills in a club. It's a club program at our school, and I hope to continue doing that as long as I can as well, because it's useful for the students, not just in terms of their yoga and their English learning, but just in terms of having an hour of me time, sort of, especially for people.
Yeah, as well.
Pardon me?
It's not just you know, exercise or learning. It's also some mindfulness for the students as well.
Yeah. And many of our students are you know, fleeing difficult situations in their home countries, mm-hmm. or facing challenging situations getting settled in this country. So having that 1 hour of mindfulness, as you say, is really a gift for them.
Yeah, that's really, you know, it's really incredible what you've managed to put together, and something like that. You might think like, oh, it's just yoga and we're just going to learn some English. Well, actually, you're actually going into the approaches of total, you know, TPR, total physical response. You're actually embedding those skills through movement, which is proven to be a really effective way to learn a language. So it sounds like you're doing great things, and this is really inspiring to hear this, Diane. So how can our listeners connect with you, and how can we find out more about you, or, you know, get in touch with you about what you do, about your book?
So I do have a website. It's www.dianeseidel.com. There's information there about the book. The book is available now for pre-order through all the classic places that you can pre-order books. There's a contact me button on my website if people want to reach out. And I'm on various social media platforms as well, although if it's a specific question, probably best to go to the website and use
that button. So yeah, underneath the episode description, we will add your website so people can get in touch with you, and also obviously the link for the book as well, so people can take a look at that and pre-order it if they wish. That's amazing. Thank you so much for your time, Dan. It was great to speak to you today and learn a little bit about your journey.
Daniel, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and thanks for your interest.
A huge thank you to Diane for joining us to interview in this week's episode. And again, please do feel free to check the description underneath to visit Diane's website and pre-order your copy of her book, Kindergarten at 60, A Memoir of Teaching in Thailand. The link will be added below, so do take a look at that if you would like. And I'm really, you know, inspired to hear the story of Diane, who went from, you know, a very successful career in science, working with a Nobel Prize winning team, to transitioning to teaching and really just doing it for the love and the passion for it, you know, not motivated by the money or, you know, the fame as such, just for something new, a new challenge and a new process. And going to teach kindergarten in Thailand, you know, must be a very, very difficult challenge. But again, it sounds like something that she really loved and it seems like something she's going to continue to do in the future as well. So thanks a lot for that interview and for that chat, Diane. Really insightful and really inspiring discussion. So before we wrap up for this week's episode, again, do not forget to follow us on Instagram at ESL Talk Podcast. If you have any questions or you'd like to get in touch with us via email, you can do so, esltalkpodcast@gmail.com. You can also get all the info on all the previous episodes on our website, esl-talk.com. And of course, you can also apply to be a guest. So if you'd like to join us for a future episode, you can do so. Just click the button Be a Guest on the website and you can fill in a couple of short details. I will then definitely get in touch with you to follow up and schedule an interview time. So I look forward to that as well. And then just finally, if you are looking for materials, you want to cut down on prep time, you want to have really good, interactive, high-quality resources, our sponsor, esl-curriculum.com, will help you with that with a two-week free trial covering all different levels, all different abilities, and just really easy, fast, you know, well-prepared lessons. Lots of different courses covered, from kids to business English to IELTS to speaking to writing. A lot of it is on there, so do take a look at that if you have a chance as well. And if you have any other questions, comments, or feedback, feel free to reach out. We always appreciate them. And if not, thank you so much for joining. Don't forget to subscribe for future episodes on Spotify and Apple iTunes. And we will see you next week for another brand new episode. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe for even more ESL teaching content.